And you're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast. And on the line, we've got Stephanie Thurston. G'day, Stephanie. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I was really glad that you got in contact with me. And you're talking about, you're from the from HACSU, the Health and Community Services Union, and you're talking to us about a worker-led rehabilitation and outpatient project, which HACSU and AMWU are spearheading. And I looked into this much more carefully and found out more about Foundation House in Sydney. This is a really important project, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, it comes at a really great time, particularly in terms of what Victoria and indeed the whole country are grappling with. You know, what we know in terms of the statistics before COVID-19 was that approximately 1 in 5 Australians will grapple with risky addiction in their lifetime. And, you know, according to experts, we're looking at about 500,000 Australians each year that are unable to access services when they ask for help. You know, what we know too is that services for the most part are unaffordable. The public beds not available or the waiting lists are too long. So we see this as a really great alternative for working people to quickly identify that they need help in the first instance, but access their help in it, that help in a timely, affordable manner as well.
Yeah, this is an... So, for example, in the construction industry, they have a very high rate of suicide, for example, and addictions can lead, be, you know, a step towards such awful outcomes. But, of course, when people are able to actually access a service that can help them, you know, hold their hand and help them through this very confronting period in their life, you know, being addicted and out of control effectively without any shame attached. This is quite extraordinary process. You've had lots of success in Sydney, haven't you?
Absolutely. And I mean, I suppose for us, I mean, the key points that really attracted us to, you know, this type of service for working people is firstly, it's a 28-day inpatient service. Now, you know, when we're looking at the wider ecosystem of inpatient services, there's not that many services that are that 28-day period. And, you know, when we're talking about services that are 3 months long, 6 months long, that can be really inaccessible for working people. And a lot of the feedback we get is that they simply just don't seek help because they cannot afford to take that much time away from work. And touching on what you've spoken about in terms of the construction industry and suicide, what we know, especially coming out of those Royal Commission recommendations into mental health in Victoria, is that mental health and addiction issues are inextricably linked, and so it's really difficult to ascertain which one comes first. It's a bit like the chicken and the egg. So another really important part of this project is, you know, the ability to have your delegates and your health and safety representatives and your organisers trained up to know what to look for on site. So there's a really important harm reduction element to this as well, where we see this as a really viable way of us catching working people before they fall as well. You know, and certainly if it's attached to a bricks and mortar service, we know that on average in Australia, it can take people up to 20 years to seek assistance with addiction, and that's because due to shame, due to stigma, but also due to services being inaccessible. So
really expensive, really expensive.
Well, on that too, what we know is the current policy settings in Australia are costing us upwards of about $55 billion annually, and that's, you know, mostly due to the knock-on effects of, you know, lost productivity, road crashes, people ending up in emergency departments, losing their jobs. We want to try and halt that cycle. And also, you know, for us, it's a no-brainer. We know that for every dollar invested into rehabilitation, the community saves $7. And for every dollar invested into harm reduction, the community saves $17. And, you know, in this really challenging economic period that we find ourselves in, firstly, we think it's the best time to do it. But secondly, we know that the best rehabs in Victoria, and certainly this would be emulated across the country, are grappling with something really quite prolific in COVID-19, because social distancing means they can't take as many people. We know that the waiting lists are apps, they were already ballooning out before this pandemic, but that inevitably has gone through the roof with the pandemic. So, you know, interventions like this where workplaces are involved, where trade unions are involved, we think it's a really important time for the government to, you know, let us have a crack at this down here.
Now, tell our listeners what this crack is. Tell us about it. It's a really interesting project.
Yeah, so our main ask to the government at this stage is a piece of Crown land to be given to us on a peppercorn lease. So at this stage, we're not really even asking for funding. We're just asking for a piece of land somewhere so we can initiate the process. The unions have been in constant consultation with the Victorian Alcohol and Other Drug Association, which is the peak body that sits sort of above all of the rehabilitation services in Victoria. I'm really pleased to say that Odyssey House have agreed to auspice this project and the land because, you know, we very much acknowledge that we don't know how to run a rehab. We just know that working people need this service. So, you know, that's really important as well, because that means we'll be giving the best practice service for working people. What we're planning to offer is a 28-day inpatient project with inpatient program with consistent outpatient support. And I think, look, the key part of this really is that, you know, predominantly, we want this to be funded via enterprise bargaining agreement clauses. They've had really great success with that in New South Wales. And what that means is that, you know, once you do that, businesses are involved, and businesses are seeing really, really great outcomes from being involved. And look, the best part of this for me, and it's the thing that really made me fall in love with the project when I went up to Soundo to visit, was the Wednesday night relapse prevention barbecue. Now, what that is that all of the current intake of clients cook this big feast, they break bread together, and everyone who has been through that process, has successfully gone back to work, they all come, all of them. And when they told me this, I was expecting 30 people. And when I was amazed. It was beautiful. There was about 120 people there. Everyone had come straight from work, and, you know, proudly union, proudly back to work. And what was beautiful about it is that these people who have gone through this process are now back on site being that example and amplifying, you know, the message that, you know, there is a community of trade unionists here ready to catch you if you fall.
Yeah, yeah. In the testimony, they talk about, you saved my life. And that will be exactly the truth of the matter. And that's why they're so committed. There is a particular site that you're interested in. It's the old psychiatric asylum on the is it in Footscray? Or
in Street, just next to the Western. Mm. And I'm sure listeners, if they know Footscray at all, they'll drive past and go, oh, that monstrosity. It's an old brutalist building. And look, it's heritage listed. And I mean, for us, we think it's in a great position right next to a hospital. That's really important for us. But look, even if that site doesn't come off, I mean, we're not precious. Our only hope is that, you know, we want it to be somewhere where there is an identified need for public rehabilitation beds because, we're really committed to this service sitting within the wider ecosystem of the incredible services that are already offered in Victoria. Anything we can do to amplify the incredible work they already do, we will do. We're also committed to writing an enterprise bargaining agreement for the actual workforce that will one day work in our service. And, you know, that's another thing that, you know, we want to give to the wider alcohol and other drugs industry, because we know that a lot of that industry are still working on the SHADS award. So that's, you know, anything we can do that's in line with our trade union values, we will do to help amplify the wider sector as well.
What's the SHAD Award?
So the SHADS Award is the Social, Community, Housing and Disability Award. It's not at all fit for purpose for a lot of those social and community services industries. And, you know, anything we can do to get people off that award and onto EBAs, we will 100% do. What we know, you know, within the wider AOD workforce and why it's important is that we know there's a huge workforce shortage at the moment. So to the point where I had a CEO of a rehab say, if this gets up in the next 3 months, who's going to work there? So, you know, we also want to try and use this service to be a really great training ground to get, you know, training happening for new people entering the workforce, especially people who are wanting a career change. Just, you know, anything we can do to help this industry, because it is, you know, it's an industry that for a really long time has been seen as the poor cousin to mental health. The Royal Commission recommendations have very much demonstrated that, you know, these issues are inextricably linked, and we, you know, we need to be investing in this workforce and their training as well.
Yeah, to have a healthy society, basically.
Absolutely. And look, it's better for the mental health workforce if the alcohol and other drug workforce are adequately supported. I mean, I think something that I had never considered before I became an organiser for the Health and Community Services Union was, you know, because of the lack of available treatment beds in Victoria, and because, you know, harm reduction services are so scarcely funded and they urgently need more funding, what tends to happen is that people who should be seeking the assistance of those services are ending up in mental health services.
Yeah, I know this because I know people who work in that area.
Right, and they're not fit for purpose. And the reality is we have a workforce shortage in mental health as is. Mm. We have a very burnt out workforce, and that extra added pressure is no good for them. So the more that we're funding these services in mental health and alcohol and other drugs at the same rate, the better for all of the workforce.
So what can listeners do to help? I mean, it's great to hear this story, but tell us what, because it's about unions, it's about workers, and it's about collective action.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, for us, the best thing that listeners can do, you know, if you want more information, please don't hesitate to reach out. But, you know, the more voices we can get writing to the likes of Minister Pallas in his capacity as the Minister for Industrial Relations, James Molino as the Minister for Mental Health, Martin Foley as the Minister for Health. I mean, that's really, really important. The more voices pushing for this, the better. The more that these ministers hear that, you know, the collective want this. They're not afraid of it. I think for a lot of people, talking about issues of addiction, it's not sexy. It's not a sexy topic. I think for a really long time, we're battling the old war on drugs narrative, on crime thing. You know, I just think the more that collectively we're all telling these ministers that, no, this is a really great way forward. We want this. It's, you know, it's going to be better for the community. You know, I think, you know, that is extremely helpful. And also sharing on social media, resharing everything that all of the unions post about it, that in itself, I mean, it may seem small, but it's really, really helpful.
Thanks very much for talking to us, Stephanie.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.